the Vietnam War. It's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, Cretans.
All right, we're back live with a wonderful Q&A show about hops or hop-related things. You ask your questions by sending them in to brewstrong@thebrewingnetwork.com, and then John and I eventually get around to answering those questions.
Yeah,
I actually really enjoy the Q&A shows because, for me, it's a lot like talking to homebrewers and just having, you know, a great conversation about, you know, what they're doing, what they're, you know, what they're curious about, what they're experimenting with. And that's best thing for me. I talking about subjects, it's kind of like, it's like teaching a class or it's getting prepared for a presentation. It's, you know, it's enjoyable. I think that's, you know, why I enjoy doing the show with you. I mean, we get to, you know, talk back and forth about it, so it's more of a homebrew discussion.
Yeah,
but
people are always kind of surprised at the conferences, you know, where they'll ask me, you know, it's like, can I ask you a question? I go, sure. You know, what do you,
you know,
we'll stand there and talk about it, and you know, I enjoy doing that. I mean, it's fun.
Well, and I think the thing that surprises people is, you know, come up and go, you know, I just want to say hi. And so I go, hi, you know, what do you do? How long you been brewing? Yeah. They're like, oh, it takes them by total surprise. It's like, yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, I'm there to talk to people. I'm there to have a good time. And then, you know, they'll be like, yeah, you know, you mind if I ask you questions? Like, yeah, absolutely. And then I think what they're shocked of most is that I'm not going to let them go. They got to talk for a while, you know. Yeah. It's like, be prepared for me to make you my entertainment for a while. I mean, I'm, you know, we're going to talk, you know, and then sometimes it's, a couple of times, you know, at the conferences, you'd be talking to somebody, and it's like, you know, I was going to go get lunch. I'm starving. I got to be back for, you know, a show or whatever. You know, you want to go to lunch. And they're like,
they start hyperventilating.
Yeah, let's go lunch. So that's always a blast. I mean, we've met so many great people that way.
Yeah.
You know, just dragging somebody out to lunch with us and having fun and talking about that. So yeah, that's my thing. I absolutely love it.
Speaking of conference, you remember when Crispy Fry was talking about next year's conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan? And he's also saying, you know, hey, you know, Sean Paxton does such an awesome job with the dinners, you know, the banquets and so on, trying to incorporate, you know, local ingredients into each year's banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And
does he include water?
Well, Crispy was saying, oh yeah, Michigan's got lots of great berries, blueberries, and so on. I'm thinking, oh, you know what you got to serve when you're in Michigan?
A walleye.
Deer and turkeys. I mean, because that's what. Oh. Michigan has more deer and turkeys, I think, than any other state in the union. So.
Yeah, I thought it would be walleye.
Well, that would be nice too. But
you know, you got to have your walleye, right, Palmer?
That's true. had some of my last trip back. It was pretty nice.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's just like some of the greatest experience we've had. It's like, you know, we grabbed up Brew Tattoo and a couple other folks when we were in Minnesota. And we all went out to dinner or lunch or something. Yeah. Oh, you know, I treasure those memories. That's just the most wonderful thing, I tell you. You know, that's what homebrewing's about. That's what, and I think that's what craft beer's about. It's those experiences, that sharing, that, you know, being part of a community of, you know, like-minded people. And you know, you have your differences. You know, there's all the political spectrum. There's all sorts of, you know, sexual interests. There's all sorts of, you know, financial strata, you know. But, you know, down deep, we're all homebrewers, and it's just a blast. It's just wonderful being part of this, I tell you. Yeah, what else is wonderful?
What's
our
that?
Fine sponsor, Blickman Engineering.
He's a peach.
He's a peach, or is he a pit? Or is he a pear? he's got a pear, that's for sure. That peach has a pear. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, John Blickman, he's paying for the show, so you don't have to. So you might want to go check out BlickmanEngineering.com. Blickman with two N's, engineering with like an E and a G or something, and .com spelled .com. And check it out. They got lots of interesting stuff there. And you can maybe send a good email to John Blickman and tell him how much you appreciate that he's sponsored the show all these years and kept idiots like us on the air to entertain you and perhaps give you some useful information. All right. Like I said, today we're going to get into another live Q&A show, and we're going to talk about hops. And let's see here.
Mark Robinson, I believe, is our
friend. Go ahead. You want to take the first one there, John?
Sure. Mark says, just listen to the podcast about double dry hopping. In it, Jamil says that he and Tasty always recommend a 90-minute boil. Since many recipes give hopping schedule based on 60-minute boils, can you tell me how to adapt that to a 90-minute boil? Do you just boil for 30 minutes and then start the regular hop schedule? Or do you start at 90 and spread it out at different intervals? Well, I can see where that would be kind of confusing to someone who hasn't considered it before.
Right. It's, you know, one of the basic fundamentals, but, you know, I think that, you know, it's a good question. I think we lose sight of the fact that people are starting out listening to us. I mean, originally, I think everybody that was listening had already brewed. Now we get a lot of people that come to us before they've ever brewed anything, and, you know, they're newer at it, or they, you know, they've been following, you know, a very strict kind of process. And so, you know, these changes, you know, it's good questions. You know, how do you, it's like steeping grains and going to all grain. It's like, well, do you keep those steeping grains separate? Do you know, what do you do? In this case, yeah, you just, you start boiling and you put your first hop addition at 60 minutes and then on from there. You just boil without hops until that point.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about that is especially if you're making a bigger beer, a lot of times you're not able to extract quite as dense enough a wort from your grains as you would with a smaller beer, and so you may be off a few points. What you can do is actually boil your wort until you get to whatever that concentration is that should be at 60 minutes, and then add your first hop addition. So you boil whatever amount of time before you get to that point. That can be quite helpful.
Okay.
Right. You want to take the next one too? You want to drive this bad boy?
Yeah.
You can read?
Yeah.
All right.
Tony says, if this question has been answered on Q&A, I've heard it and forgotten. Can you explain about what is susceptible to UV light damage? I know that hop acids isomerize, but what about load a non-hop beer? What about cider, mead, or wine? Thanks.
Interesting question. I think, you know, there's, you know, UV light has a fair amount of energy in it, and I think that that is capable of altering a lot of things. It's like getting a sunburn. You know, your skin has no alpha acids to, you know, become affected by the UV radiation, but there's other things in your skin that are. You know, same thing, anything that's, you know, put in strong UV light. You know, if you think about x-rays and things like that, that's just, you know, another form of, you know, or microwaves. You know, you're just talking about different wavelengths and, mm-hmm. you know, more energy in the wave. And so UV having a, you know, a fair amount of energy compared to, you know, visible light, you know, can affect, I imagine, a lot of things. If you have a, especially a clear bottle, you know, malt compounds, alcohols, proteins. I'm not really sure. John, do you know more about this than I do? Or
Yeah, probably. I guess the...
He just said probably. Yeah, that's his answer. Well, John, do you know more than I do? Probably.
I had a UV section in the water book. That's why I said that.
Ah, there you go.
So, yeah, when I was working on the water book recently, the UV light is used for sterilizing incoming water supplies. Not sterilizing them so much as breaking down any existing mm-hmm. organic contaminants in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good for breaking down chlorine, mm-hmm. breaking down chloramines, and also other organic contaminants in the water, mm-hmm. such as pesticides, herbicides, mm-hmm. Residual disinfection byproducts, haloacetic acids. There's a whole slew of things mm-hmm. that can be in an incoming water supply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you know, as slight contaminants, and the UV will help. That irradiation helps break those down into smaller parts,
mm-hmm.
which in turn helps carbon filtration mm-hmm. absorb those pieces more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, in beer, the first thing everyone thinks about is skunking. UV light is responsible for skunking beers,
mm-hmm.
changing the hop compounds, the isomerized alpha acids, into a mercaptan-type compound, which is similar to skunk smell.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get that in both clear and green bottles, more so than in brown bottles. But in terms of the non-hop beer or the cider, mead, or wine,
mm-hmm.
There I think the strong UV light can certainly help increase the oxidation rate or the staling rate mm-hmm. of these beverages. So,
right.
Yeah, you'll get some flavor changes from exposure.
Mm-hmm. Generally, the addition of energy to any system accelerates the processes that are going on, you know, most notably temperature. You know, as our friend Charlie Bamforth always says, you know, every 10 degrees C doubles the rate of staling, the rate of anything, any chemical reaction, right? So, you know, the energy addition of UV light into a system has got to have some effect along those lines. I wonder if, you know, it could even perhaps add to more of a cooked, stale kind of character.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, I think light damage is a... a very real thing. So, ideally, keep your beer in brown bottles. Keep them out of the sun. Even in brown bottles, I think you can have some effect.
Yep. All right. Next question is from Catfish Dion, and he says, "I'm wondering about using hop pellets in a hop back, or in a torpedo, like the Sierra Nevada torpedo." I understand that the whole hop cones act as a depth filter, keeping the smaller chunks from clogging the flow. Could a certain percentage of pellet hops be mixed in with leaf hops in a hop back? It seems like that a lot of varieties that you might want to use in a hop back are in short supply, and pellets are more readily available than whole flowers. He says, I don't have a hop back or torpedo to play with, but he said he'd like to try it out.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll answer that question and more right after this.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zainashev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering. But it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam me in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking hops and all things hoppy about beer and some of the questions that have come in. And I think we've hit this question before, or a similar question about using pellet hops in Hop Hack or Torpedo.
Could be, yeah.
I would say you could probably mix a certain amount of hop pellets, but you really need a base of hop cones. The pellets, they can amazingly form a very fine, tight block on any surface. Depending on liquid flows, they can fan out and coat and just overlap just enough to stop any liquid from moving whatsoever. So, you'd need enough cones in there to kind of mix it up or
pack them into the front where the liquid first comes in, mm-hmm. and use the whole hops towards the back where the liquid exits. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm totally the reverse. My liquid exits out the front and my solids out the back.
Ah. But I mean, I use a Blickman hop rocket, and it's really good at keeping the tube in my boil kettle from getting into my plate chiller.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have lots of hop pellets in the boiler, and there's a fair amount of them going into the hop back. When I empty the hop back, you can see a layer of fines, in there, but it's not affecting the flow out of the hop back.
You know, a lot of times people will put screens and stuff inside their kettle to screen out a tube from their plate chiller. I wonder if it would be better if everybody went to like a hop rocket and packed it with like stainless scrubbies or something. And then use that to filter out everything.
Yeah.
If they didn't want, hop character, extra late hop character.
Yeah. Well, that's what I usually do is I don't worry about them so much in the kettle when I'm brewing ales, because I'm usually, I'm usually doing a late hop addition with the hop back. But I've been doing some lagers recently where I didn't want that flavor. And so I used, a much tighter screen in the boil kettle,
mm-hmm.
which worked really well.
Very nice. All right.
All righty, and next one. Barry says, I've changed a couple of things in my brewing lately. I skipped one. Let me go back.
Robert?
Robert says, I've been buying hops in bulk after harvest and vacuum sealing them in 1-ounce packages. I'm wondering how long these will last in the freezer before I shouldn't bother with them. Do aromas fade? Alpha acids? Flavor? Good question.
Yes, they fade. I guess it depends if you're buying pellets or you're buying whole cone. I think the whole cone do not... are not as stable as the pelletized hops. If you vacuum seal them, flush it with nitrogen, vacuum seal it after that, and then you freeze it. At freezer temperatures, the hops will last years and are quite stable. I've had pellet hops that I had gotten from More Beer that, they nitrogen flush and seal it in that oxygen barrier Mylar bag, those little baggies. And I found some hops that were 5 years old. And boy, I tell you, you open it up, it's like fresh hops. Smells fantastic. There's nothing wrong with them. Good to go as far as brewing goes. It's temperature that is the, and I've said this before, I've been saying this for years, and people are like, well, it's the oxygen, it's all that. Yeah, all that adds some impact, but the biggest factor is temperature, because all that oxidation, all that stuff slows down, just like, Bamforth is saying, at a higher temperature, every 10 degrees C, it's going twice as fast. Well, every 10 degrees C you knock off, it's going half as fast. So you get down, cold enough, nothing happens. You get it to absolute zero. I'm telling you, your hops are not oxidizing at that point. It is impossible. So the closer down you can get, the more stable it will be. So I think it's good at least for a year, right?
Oh, yeah. I've had the same experience where I use vacuum sealer bags, you know, for food that you can buy. Mm-hmm. And they're like a, what's the way they call that texture?
It's kind of got a rough skin on it type of thing, yeah.
Yeah, they're a clear plastic, but they're thicker, and they've got kind of a gator skin kind of surface on them. But I've had hops.
Well, and even those you could flush with some nitrogen.
CO2 then, also works, yeah.
And but, go with that, and then seal them up.
Yeah, and like you, I've got hops 5 years old that still are very potent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Strong
like bull.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's. The colder you can store it, the better.
Okay. Kind of a follow-up. Vaughn asks, should you adjust the alpha acids percentage of hops based on their age? He says, the alpha acids in hops degrade over time. There are numerous online calculators that calculate an adjusted alpha acid percentage based on age and storage methods. I've used these calculators when my one-year-old hops were producing beers that were lacking in bitterness and found that my beers improved as a result. Does hop age figure into your brewing calculations? Do you think it makes a difference? Well, yeah, we were just kind of talking about that just now, weren't we?
Yeah. And, there is some degradation over time, but, again, the colder you have it, the loss is really minimal. For me as a home brewer, I never bothered because I kept everything frozen. I used what I needed. It went right back in the freezer. The difference was not enough to really worry about. Either you're making really subtle beers and, you're off by a few IBU, doesn't really matter. Because that's not what the beer is about. Or you're making really hop-forward beers, and you're putting such an insane amount of hops in anyways that, again, it doesn't matter. You're not experiencing anything noticeable one way or the other. That's what I found.
I've got a section here from the hops book that Stan Hieronymus wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Just came out this year from Brewers Publications. On page 230... forget which chapter this is, but he cites Val Peacock, who is a noted brewing scientist, and mentions that unopened pellets retain most of their alpha acid for 5 years when frozen. That's 26F or minus 3C. 2 to 3 years when refrigerated, 40F or 4 degrees C. The aroma will change more quickly, but at 26F, the aroma seems relatively stable. He says unprotected pellets store more poorly than cones, like from an open bag, because the lupulin glands have been crushed to some degree, whereas in a whole cone they're relatively uncrushed. So if you have a pellet that's sitting warm, it's going to degrade faster than hop cone, he says. And he says here that cascade pellets should be good for 2 weeks at 50 degrees F or 10 degrees C and 5 weeks at 26 degrees F or 3 degrees C if, opened to the air. But they'll last longer if colder. So some really good information in this hop book. You might want to pick up a copy because it does discuss hop aroma and bitterness degradation in hops as well as the other fine topics.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think Stan did a fine job, and there's plenty of great information in that book to be had. Take a short break, and when we come back, more of your questions right after this.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry, and to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, KeystoneHomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
I-10, huh? Getting tired of that same old handcrafted beverages day after day? Are you looking for something with more diversity than your normal beer? Fellow BN Army member Michael Fairbrother, owner of Moonlight Meadery, is reviving an entire beverage category. Mead!
The meads at Moonlight Meadery are all handcrafted from the finest honey on the market and are perfect for any occasion, like weddings, baby showers, or...
Excuse me? Mead is not your average girly drink, mister, and Moonlight Meads can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere. Football games with the guys.
Yeah.
Barbecues with the guys.
Yeah.
Operating power tools with the guys.
Yeah. Actually, sir, that's really dangerous.
Good point, son.
Next time you have something to celebrate or are just looking for a new tasting experience, pick up a bottle of mead from Moonlight Meadery. Now in 21 states, making over 60 varieties of mead from dry, semi-sweet to sweet.
Break out of that craft beer lull. Grab a bottle of Moonlight Mead. Can't find some? Then ask. No, make that demand some.
Yeah!
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Back to your hosts, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. Putting the testicles in technical. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. Talking about hops for all your Q&A questions. That is, if you have questions, you can send them in to brewstrong@thebrewingnetwork.com. And eventually, John and I will get to them.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Next question, John.
Okay. Let's see. Well, now we're kind of moving off hops a bit. But Barry asks, he says, I've changed a couple of things in my brewing lately. And one of the changes is that I've switched from Iodifer to Star Sand for my sanitization. When I mix my Star Sand, it pretty much immediately turns cloudy. I believe I remember hearing you guys say that it has something to do with the mineral content in the water. My question is, I know the amount of foam left over from sanitizing isn't much, but will cloudy Star Sand affect the clarity of the finished beer? If it does, will it eventually clear on its own? The other change I've made is that I've stopped using Irish moss in an attempt to figure out why my wife gets irritations after drinking homebrew. Yeah, my wife gets irritated when I drink homebrew, too. And I know some people are allergic to carrageenan, and I'm trying to rule it out as a possibility. I started using Star Sand and stopped using Irish moss at the same time, so I'm trying to nail down why my beer has been hazy. Well, I think this is more of a case of Irish moss than Star Sand. What about you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know, put the Irish moss back. It has nothing to do with the star sand.
Yeah. Now, do you suppose his wife is allergic to carrageenan in some way? Have you heard of that before?
It might be.
Might be. I'm not familiar with that, but it is kind of a protein, so.
Yeah, people allergic to all sorts of stuff. People allergic to their own sweat. I mean, you know, go figure.
It would suck if she was allergic to protein. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Once you're married, they're all allergic to protein. all right, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Mike Thompson asks, he says, I'm a rookie all-grain brewer. I've been making a lot of small 1 to 2 gallon batches so that I can experiment with recipes and perfect my technique. So far, I've made a great porter, a pretty decent special bitter, and a Kolsch, which is my best beer by far. However, I've struck out on 2 different hoppy pale ales and an IPA. They're drinkable, but the flavors don't really mesh well, as if the malt and hops don't quite belong together. The aroma also doesn't seem to match up with the flavor. I think I have my mash and boil techniques down pretty well, and I have a fridge with a temperature controller to manage fermentation temps. I don't think sanitation is my issue because my other beers have turned out great. What should I tweak next? Yeast selection or water? He goes on to say, I've been using Saf Ale 05 for the pale ales and the IPA, and I rehydrate prior to pitching. I use 5 to 6 grams for a 1 gallon batch, which should be plenty. Should I move on to a different yeast strain? That's kind of question one. Question two is, I use filtered tap water and haven't made any mineral additions and haven't measured mash pH. My water report doesn't give me any information about hardness or alkalinity, but it does tell me that the sulfate content is 19 parts per million. Is that too low for a hoppy beer? Should I consider adding gypsum to increase the sulfate content of my water? I like this question. I think he's given us a lot of good information about his process and, you know, and some background information on the beers, so we got things to compare to.
Oh, I hate this question. Too much information. I don't know. Just make us guess.
I don't know. What's your first thought?
Yeah, you could add some more some sulfate. You could hit it with some gypsum. The flavors don't really mesh well. It may be you're choosing crappy hops and weird malt or something. I don't know. I there's not enough information really there to go with. You can add sulfate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to integrate odd flavors. If you're adding, you know, weird flavors together, you could adjust your water all you want. The only thing I get from this is you really should be checking, you know, mash pH.
Yeah.
Because you're saying you got some dark beers that worked out great, and you got some pale beers that didn't. So I would assume maybe mash pH, and, you know, there might be some gypsum you could add with that. I think that maybe is your issue there.
Yeah. Do you think, I guess I'm thinking that yeast strain wouldn't necessarily fix this problem. As you say, the malt and hop flavors aren't meshing well together.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it is probably more of a pH situation.
Mm-hmm.
If your mash pH goes too high, say towards 6, then your malt flavors are going to be kind of dull, mm-hmm. and then your hop flavors are going to be, or your hop bitterness is going to be kind of harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could result in a beer issue, that doesn't taste very bright.
Right, and
so
when
that could be part of the problem.
When he's doing darker beers, it becomes more acidic, and everything works out. The Saf Ale 05 should work out fine for pale ales and IPAs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would lean towards the pH as a potential issue,
and maybe add a little calcium sulfate or gypsum.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely get some test papers or something and check your mash pH.
Yep.
5.2 to 5.6 is what you're looking for, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay. Jeremy asks, let's see, I know a Q&A episode only just came out. Can't listen live as I'm in Australia. And I'm not sure how it works for getting your questions on the next episode. But I have a question regarding head retention that I thought others might want to know the answer to as well. I've brewed a couple of Hefeweiss beers recently, more than 60% wheat malt, that produce a fantastic, thick, stark, white, rocky, dense head, but then it disappears within a minute or two. I'm reasonably certain my glassware is not the culprit. I was a wine waiter and know how to clean glassware. I have two questions about what it might be. One, I think I remember you guys talking on either Brew Strong or Jamil Show about concentrated boils giving less proteins in the final volume and therefore less for head retention. I do concentrated boils, about 16 liters or 4 gallons, so this might be the cause? Two, the batches I've noticed the problem with were mashed and boiled in stainless steel vessels cleaned with dishwashing detergent. I had run out of PBW. Could some of that residue be hitching a ride the whole way along the brewing process and killing my head stain power? Are either of these a real concern, or is there another explanation?
You know, without knowing the exact recipe and all that, it's difficult to say because, you know, for example, concentrated boil, he does not say what he is diluting that down to. I mean, he's starting with 16 liter. Is he then going to 23 liters? Is he going to 32 liters? Is he going to 150 liters? You know, that would make a big difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, that can impact it. If you're only diluting it, 10%, 20%, probably not the issue. The dishwashing detergent could possibly carry through. I mean, that has some potential, I think. But, yeah, he's doing it in the kettle. And, I mean, if it was the mash, I'd say it's probably not carrying through all the way. But
yeah,
the kettle, maybe that could be something there. I'd go ahead and, you know, avoid that if you could. You know, give extra good rinses. But my thought, often what I found was by letting the beer sit a longer period of time, what happened was, and he should try this with his beers, just let it sit for a few weeks, a month, whatever, in the keg without moving, and these ultra-fine particles, a beer that looks perfectly clear will have all these ultra-fine particles form a dusting across the bottom of the keg, and as those particles drop out, their nucleation sites that, once you get them out of the beer, that head will form and it'll just last forever. It just stays there. I think, you know, that's part of it. If otherwise he's getting, good results. I don't know. I don't know.
That's a really good point. I hadn't considered that aspect, but you're right. The residual particles could act as coagulation points in the head and help it fall faster, even though it forms a nice head initially.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That could be, just a bacteria or a wild yeast or something in there that's, consuming things.
That could be, yeah.
Hard to say.
But, yeah, maybe try.
Yeah, without the recipe and the beer.
Yeah.
You're tasting the beer. It is tricky.
Yeah, would some of those foam control potentially help him, do you think? I don't know if that would act to counteract
his
rinse agents in the detergent.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Generally, yeah, the foam controls just keep foam from forming in the first place. And then, so you have better foam later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those don't seem to carry through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, good luck in the future there.
I'm sure we've helped you a lot. And I'll tell you this, if you want some help in the bedroom, check out AdamandEve.com, our fine sponsor. Yeah, they've got all sorts of goodies, toys, games, exotic extras to help make your bedroom experience that much more, or your brew day, that much more exciting. I mean, imagine whipping out a giant dong to stir the mash with the look on your brew buddy's face.
Talk about fantastic, thick, rocky, dense head.
Creamy head, yeah. Just whip that thing out. Go over to AdamandEve.com and enter the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L. And what happens is you choose just about any one item, and you're going to get 50% off of that item. You buy that one item, 50% off, you're going to get a free extra gift so central I can't mention it. You're going to get 3 free DVDs of your choosing. You choose from categories like anal, amateur, Asian, big butts, big breasts, gingers, gay, lesbian, that, all sorts of categories. And then, on top of it all, they're going to ship it to you for free. So you buy one item 50% off, which is hardly anything, and then you get all this other stuff for free and shipped for free. So you don't have to, you know, the thing that usually costs you a bunch in all these great deals is shipping. Well, no, they got that for free too. So it's a great deal. Check it out, AdamandEve.com. You can even do it mobile. You can go to m.adamandeve.com and or your phone will recognize it, whatever, and you can be checking out all the goodies before you get home and meet up with your brew buddy. Or while you're brewing, you could be looking for your next great mash paddle. You know, like a 36-inch long, veiny mash paddle. I'm sure they've got one. So check it out today, AdamandEve.com. All right, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the rest of those questions after this.
BN Army HopTech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. HopTech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And HopTech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeve shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. N-I-K-O-B-R-E-W. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink has run.
Well, if it's a pale ale, you're good, but stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water-resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog Tag. At least your beer will look good. GrogTag.com.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzmingstein?
Yes, J.P. Law. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
But, Doctor, the storm is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acid.
Yes, J.P. Law, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Glickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra-precision, the tower can hold your mash to one-half of a degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Glickman, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, J.P. Gore. We have beer to brew.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google+ to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. Having a lovely time in the studio. I really do think we need to be packaging up the in between spots, the off-air stuff.
And, Brewing Network breaks.
Brewing Network breaks. I'm telling you, it would be a gold mine of great radio or seriously disturbed conversations. Speaking of seriously disturbed conversations, what do we got going on in the chat room? We got any questions from our live listeners?
Yeah, we do. Boise Brewer wants to know, if you are low on a pre-boil gravity and boil longer to hit the gravity you were aiming for, do you need to adjust the hop amounts to account for the extra liquid you boiled off?
No. Well, that's the thing that Tasty and I always talk about is boil until you should be checking your starting gravity. You know, you've run off on the mash, or you've dissolved your extract or whatever, and you're steeping grains. Check your gravity and see if that is where you should be at the beginning of the boil. If not, boil or dilute until you get to wherever that starting gravity should be, and then do your, you know, first hop addition, or then boil for whatever period of time and then do your first hop addition.
Mike wants to know, can you ask what they think about vacuum packaging and freezing wet hops, homegrown without drying them? Have you tried it before? Any reason not to, etc.?
Oh, you know, the wet hops, anytime I've tried doing that, I got a snotty, slimy mess in the end. So it did not work for me. But maybe I just did it wrong. I think, you know, I guess if you could like vacuum freeze them really fast and get the moisture out. Otherwise, you know, like the cells explode when you freeze it and it's just, it's like snot. It's like slime.
You think it would work though if they could, if they could freeze it instantly?
If you were, if you have the ability to make like freeze dried astronaut ice cream, freeze dried ice cream, then you could probably make that work.
But, I always had good luck, you know, drying my hops at home.
Well, they're talking about wet hops. Not dry hops, but wet. Okay. Fresh hops and wet, and then freezing them wet and then reusing them later.
To
and
make what, a wet hop beer?
Yeah, and what happens is the water explodes all the cells and all the cell structure disappears and it's just a pile of snot and water. And it's very disgusting.
So, like when Sierra Nevada makes a fresh hop beer, what do they do?
They use fresh hops.
Okay, it just goes straight from the plant into the beer.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, freezing them, I think it just doesn't work.
Okay, here's one from Brian. He's confused about bittering additions, he says. At a 60-minute addition, is he to understand the hop used will not impart any flavors, just bittering components?
No, it imparts flavor. You know, it can be fairly subtle. It depends on how much you're doing and what kind of hop. If you're doing something like, let's say you're doing a very light wheat ale, and you want it, you know, to be, you know, this bittering you add, and you add like Summit hops or something like that, you'll taste that hop in the end. You could use something else. You could use like Halitau, you know, something like that. You can actually taste those hops in a clean, you know, fairly neutral beer. It's just quite obvious, especially if you use a large amount. If you're using a low alpha acid hop and you add a lot of it in order to get enough bittering, it'll be even more prominent. If you're using a real high alpha hop and you use just a tiny bit, sometimes it won't be too noticeable. In a bigger, more complex beer where you're doing all these late hop additions, the early hop additions barely matter because it's, you know, it's buried under so much.
Boise Brewer is following up on his question about adjusting hop amounts to account for extra liquid. He wants to put a finer point on it. He's asking about the amount of hops he's adding, not the times for additions. So if he boils longer, there will be less wort in the kettle. If he uses his original hop amounts, will he be getting additional IBUs?
Oh, I see. So, higher concentration, right. So, let's say you're boiling down because you have not collected enough liquid. You're getting to the right gravity, but your volume has now fallen below what you had before. Yes, you need to adjust your amounts of your hops. So, let's say you're supposed to have 6 gallons at the beginning of boil of 10 to 52 wort. And instead, it was, you know, 1048. So you boiled it a little extra longer. You ended up with 5.5 gallons of, 1052. Well, that half a gallon difference, you need to account for that. So you would, what you do is, it's real simple. You multiply number of gallons times ounces of hops or grams of hops, right? And then you divide by your current number of gallons or whatever, and you're able to just adjust down from there. You can go, you know, number of IBUs, number of grams, whatever you wish.
Okay, hopefully that cleared it up for you, Boise. Thanks to everybody in the chat room for your participation.
Another great show. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Yep. Make sure to tune in next time. We'll be hopefully talking about nano brewing again. We've got somebody, Ken, who's actually just recently started up a nano brew quite successfully. So we want to see how he did it and pass that information along to you guys. And we'll be doing other fun shows in the future and more Q&A. In the meantime, check out our great sponsors, Blickman Engineering, BlickmanEngineering.com. They're paying for this show, so you don't have to. So show them some love and check out AdamandEve.com. Check out the Brewing Network store as well. Till then, brew strong, everybody.
Brew strong.